continuing our services. And the peace of God that goes above all understanding, that it protect our hearts and our skill in our Lord Jesus Christ, now and always. For my text, I would like to read from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 13. For 15 and 17. And the words are in Jesus' name as follows. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after he had poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherein he was girded. So after he had washed their feet, and he had taken his garments, and he sat down again and said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he then is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Holy Father, sanctify us in truth. Your word is eternal truth. Amen. These words of this text open in a very beautiful picture to see. This opens such a picture for us to see when the Lord Jesus is here in this time for the final moments with his disciples. The picture opens for us to see of the kingdom of God, the congregation of God's people. This picture is the same as the services here at the fields of Vaasa. The children of God are together here. There are basins, there is cloth, a towel, but above all there is the living Lord Jesus Christ with his Spirit in our midst. If very briefly, if we speak of God's congregation, it is spoken of the triune God who set a wedding for his son and found a bride, and the son who paid for this bridegroom with his blood, and that is why he calls it the congregation. And then the Holy Spirit that sanctifies, enlightens, and calls and gathers those who are members of God's kingdom there in the hearts of the believers, that has been put into their hearts until the day of redemption. Of this the apostle writes, Do not make the Spirit of God sorrowful, to which you are attached, until the day of your redemption. Isn't this a precious engagement with the congregation, with this entourage that we are? We can hold on in our hearts through faith. And in the Old Covenant time, it was patriarchal in the Old Covenant time. And in the midst of His promised ones, when the Lord Jesus in His time, when He was in His prophetical work, He established the congregation of the New Testament. We remember that beautiful spot from the Gospel of Matthew, that one portion, there are several, of how He asked His disciples, whom do the people say that I am? The disciples said, some say Elijah and some other prophets. But then the Lord Jesus asked His own a direct question. Who do you say I am? Peter, whom we remember as being a quick-natured man, he answered and said, You are Christ, the Son of the living God. And there Jesus said, Peter, it was not flesh and blood that revealed this unto you, but it was the Spirit of my Father. After Peter had confessed this, that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, after this Jesus said, You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my congregation, and the gates of hell cannot be victorious. That confession of Christ upon the rock, He built this congregation, of which we are, dear brothers and sisters, through faith we are members, even today. This was the assembly, the gathering here of God's children. All the disciples were together. Judas, the deceiver, betrayer. Jesus was sad, but knowing God's will, He let it happen. We see this beautiful picture. Jesus stood up and took His garment off and took the towel and girded Himself. And then He poureth water into a basin and begins to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith He was girded. If we look at this picture from God's congregation from that moment, that was before Easter on that Thursday, as it was mentioned, the congregation of God was gathered. There was that entourage of the believing children around Jesus, as even today in these plains we are. This group of believers have gathered around one precious sacrifice to Lord Jesus. There, the same picture was, and the Word of God comes. Jesus takes the cup or basin and puts water and starts washing His disciples' feet. This is a very pleasant place for me in the Old Testament, a very precious portion from the book of Zechariah I have sometimes spoken of, from the 4th chapter, where he speaks of the Zechariah who was coming home from services. Zechariah was tired. It speaks of the services where he had been to. He had been at these services where the high priest Joshua had received the grace of repentance. And the angel of the Lord stood before him. And when we read from the Bible, and we can see the situation, the Lord of the angels stood before the high priest Joshua. It was the prophet Haggai. And it says more, that the enemy of the soul stood before them, standing against them. And now Haggai, selected by God and through the Spirit of God, took the filthy garments from Joshua and asked him to put on the celebration clothing. There in the Old Testament, there were very difficult times for Haggai and Zechariah, who encouraged the people of children of God to build a house of the Lord. They had great sorrow for this, that you build your own beautiful homes, but you cannot, do not take care of the house of the Lord. Zechariah came from these services, and he was tired. The journey had made him tired, and many things pressed down on his mind, and he was about to fall asleep. And the angel of the Lord came, and came again and said unto him, this shows that the angel of the Lord had spoken with him early. And when his eyes were falling asleep, what did the angel of the Lord say? He speaks to Zechariah. He says, Zechariah, what do you see? And when he opens his eyes, and he sees a vision that is shown unto him, he says, look, behold, I see a candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it. And from this we can see Zechariah had become tired of the journey. His eyes of faith were strong. They had not wearied. He had been awakened to ask to see. When he was shown the congregation of God, Zechariah sees it completely of pure gold. If there is fault in our eyes, and when we see, when the spiritual eyes have problems, this is not a precious congregation. It is not seen as a golden candlestick. We can see problems and faults. There was a beautiful vision. There was a bowl. As Jesus took this basin, there was this bowl or basin, and it was upon the candlestick. Imagine, this bowl or basin has been at these services. It has been in a service tent. It has been in our midst. It has been outside, always in the midst of God's congregation. It is visible, always visible. It has been raised up in such a place in God's kingdom that we can see it, and we can take care of matters then when we need to. This basin here, Zechariah looks at it when he sees it. same as Jesus. There, in the midst of his congregation, he takes the basin and puts water and starts to wash the feet of his disciples. Dear children of God, it is a precious matter that God has set this so, that we have places of washing in God's house. And we can see where it is, and we can be diligent when we need to. And we can go to this basin to cleanse our travel faults. Zechariah looks at the candlestick. He sees seven lamps and seven pipes, in each seven lamps. When we children of God can gather at services around the Word of God, at services at home, or in our home Zion, or in larger services, we are always then around the bright lights of God's Word. The bright lights are always enlightening the way. It opens our hearts from God's Word, that portion which is necessary for us. And under these lamps, now that we have begun and started these services and we can hear and listen, isn't it true, dear children of God? Under these bright lights, bright lamps, we have become refreshed and rested. And then Zechariah also saw seven scoops or seven pipes. This seven is a perfect number of God. These seven pipes that were in these seven lamps. When we go there to take care of matters, to put sin away, believing the gospel, the grace of God, to own the grace of God, these pipes or scoops, we are given the full measure, that perfect measure of seven. It is a sign of the unmeasurable, immeasurable love of God that we receive from the basin of water in God's kingdom. It is pure grace of God. If we can look at the text later, we can see why the living Lord Jesus, why did he want to leave this as an example? And why was it a job given to us? This is how Zechariah looked at this day in which we can live in God's congregation with the basin in our midst. When he had washed the feet of his disciples, he did not leave the feet wet. He had girded himself with a belt, a garment, towel, and he dried the feet of his disciples. Another example from the Old Testament. There is a portion in the Old Testament about drying the feet. It is in the first book of Moses, in chapter 35, from the beginning. It tells of our patriarch of Jacob. We remember the story of Jacob's life, how he left his home. He left being blessed by his father to meet his father's relatives. He served for a few years, and then he left. When God had blessed Laban's flock, then through Jacob says then, Through the loins of my legs, my feet, have your flocks increased. There had been this problem with Jacob. He had not seen it as God's blessing, as a temporal life, the goodness of temporal life that God had given. It is important for us that if God gives us good gifts, that we would see as a gift from the dear Heavenly Father, and that we would remember to thank for this. Let's return to Jacob later. And he left with his wives. His dear wife so stole his father's Laban. And when he meets Laban, Jacob's mind is like David's, that he had stolen the God, he shall not live. Jacob's mind was not good, but then God came in. We remember that wrestling match between Jacob. You are not Jacob, you are Israel. You have defeated God. How could Jacob beat God? Through faith, he could understand God to be his own. I will not let you go if you do not bless me first. Jacob was lame, but his sins were forgiven. Peace was in his conscience. Loved his family. And it is visible there when he meets his brother, who asks, "Let's go together." Jacob said to his brother, "Not, my lord. I have a small flock. If we run these quickly, they will become tired." Jacob had taken care of his own issues. Sins had been forgiven. Love and forgiveness and love for other children of God. And now he sees and he looks. Esau, these will not be run quickly. These are weak. They will become tired upon the way. This is the voice of the Good Shepherd, of the Lord Jesus, towards us. Let's not run fast. Let's travel slowly, one step at a time. If sin falls, let's take care of them. And then we travel according to the guidance of the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jacob had had his own sins forgiven, here in Genesis, God came. God came to advise Jacob of what to do. "Listen, Jacob, go. Go into Bethel and live there." If I understand correctly, this Bethel means the house of God. And now Jacob, God advised Jacob to go into Bethel and to live there. Live in God's house. It is a place of security in the way, in the cold, in the evil world. It is a place of security from the filth of sin. Sin that always eats the strength of faith and makes us weak. God told Jacob to go live there. When Jacob had the mind of the Good Shepherd, he takes his family and speaks to his family. "This, my dear sisters and brothers and fathers, I speak to my own heart when I look at the example of Jacob. God gathers, Jacob gathers his people, his wife, and the servants, and says to them, let us get up, and let us go into Bethel, that I would make an altar there, and I would sacrifice unto the Lord, who heard me in my day of trial. And the family came into Bethel, into the house of the Lord. And the sin sacrifice was sacrificed. In the same way, as here we can see the washing of the feet, in the Old Testament also, sin was put away in that sacrificial lamb that was sacrificed there at the altar. And they looked for the promised sacrifice through the sacrifice of the lamb, where the good atonement blood's voice was heard. Jacob took care of his family. There had been idols and false gods and false matters in our family. It had made the family life difficult and travel difficult. Jacob was given love towards his family members. They were all sacrificed. All of Laban's rings, earrings, all foreign matters had been brought to the sacrifice. They were brought to the altar to be sacrificed away. He dried the feet of his disciples with the towel that was girded. When the sacrifice had been taken care of in Bethel, Jacob hid the sacrifice, which is near Shechem. The old teachers have said, Jesus speaks of the cloth or the towel of forgiveness and forgetting. Old teachers have said, it is the oak tree of forgetting where Jacob hid the sacrifice of false gods. They were hidden and forgotten. In the same way it is today, or there where he washed the feet of his disciples and dried the feet. They were dried with that towel. When they were drowned in the mercy sea, they are not remembered anymore. Why would we, dear children of God, why would we remember them that God has forgiven in his grace? And if we can put some sin away between one or another, we do not have to remember those faults. Why not? That I too need the grace of God so much that I would remain in this travel towards heaven's home. Here in this text that I did not read, which is familiar for you, dear children, there Peter denies that you would wash my feet. Peter did not understand what was happening. He only saw that the King of heaven and earth, my Lord and my Master, should he do the work of the slave for me. Washing of feet in Israel was such a low-level job. Only slaves would do this work. And now Peter sees that this will not work. The King of heaven and earth will wash my feet. The living Lord teaches as we have experienced here, how the dear congregation helps us, teaches us in those which we do not understand. And we do not have to understand everything. I remember one thing. My brother Eric was a handicapped. He went to services a lot. Eric always listened to the services. And someone asked Eric, he said, "Do you understand this?" He said, "I do not understand anything of this faith matter, but this I know. That through the gospel, Jesus has forgiven all my sins." Eric understood all this very clearly. When Peter prevents Jesus from washing the feet, Jesus said, If I do not wash your feet, then you have no part in me. Here, the Lord of life, with the forgiveness of sin, Jesus takes out the depth of the forgiveness to Peter. The depths of the gospel is visible here. It is not only a form of words to cover the sin. This gospel is, it washes and cleanses our hearts with faith to serve the living Lord. And in this way, Jesus had to say that if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Our text continues. So after he had washed their feet and he had taken his garments, and he said, "Know ye what I have done to you?" Now he makes this question to his disciples. He says, "Do you understand this matter? What is this washing of feet? What is the deepest meaning?" He continues, "You call me Lord and Master, and you say correctly, for I am so." Here he brings forth to his disciples that he truly is the Lord and Master of heaven, the King of heaven and earth. In this way, at the moment of departing, he supports and strengthens them with humbleness and love through the example. "When I do this to you, I am your Lord and Master," he says here. "Then, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." This is in a form of a command. You ought to wash. The living Lord says, do this service of humbleness and love to your friends traveling upon the heavenly way, so that you have this participation with the Lord Jesus, and participation and part with the Lord's congregation to the love. This is what is in question. When he washed these feet, he encouraged to wash one another's feet. "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." When we look at this example given by the Lord of life, he did say in another portion, "I did not come to be served, but to serve." And he encourages us to wash one another's feet, those travel faults that seem to attach upon the way, as we heard in the day services. The sin that always attaches and makes this travel slow. This was taught for us by the Lord to serve one another through the gospel. He gave this gospel, this office of atonement. He gave this to his own disciples, that we want to correct one another, wash away those faults with the gospel. He did not only teach us as we should, but I would think that around this text, this also calls or invites a person into the participation of washing the feet. Before this, as the Lord here said, he that who is washed, it is enough. It is enough that the feet are washed. It calls people onto repentance and into the forgiveness of sins, and to believe this, that the gospel of God can wash us completely from all filth of sin, to believe the gospel, and after this, upon the way and the journey, that we would wash one another's feet. I remember there in the beginning, that sacrificial lamb that Jacob sacrificed. Here in God's kingdom, in the gospel, it is sprinkled that blood of this New Testament sacrifice lamb. Sins are forgiven in the name of the Lord Jesus and atonement blood. That sprinkling of the gospel, it washes and cleanses, as I remembered, in our hearts. This example the living Lord gave to his own, he said still, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." When the congregation of God gives us daily, through grace, all our sins forgiven, we can live of this gospel. Doesn't it give love towards our Lord and Savior, and for those that are born of Him, or the children of God? And so we want to serve one another with the words of the gospel here upon the way and the journey. And here still in the end, the living Lord tells us, there gives us a question. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. There is this word, if you know. And we, brothers, dear sisters, we have understood the sweetness of the gospel, of which Peter writes in his letter. If you have some other tasted that the Lord is sweet, through faith we have understood the deepness of the gospel of the God's kingdom, that here on the journey we have places of washing and crystal clear streams that flow from the seat of God and the Lord Jesus. And as Ezekiel remembers, it flows from the right side of the altar. These flows and streams flow in God's house, crystal clear, and we can live around these streams. And through faith, God has opened this for us. We always want to be diligent and put sin away, endeavoring in God's house. In his time, David wrote in a very beautiful way in Psalms 32, when the living Lord said, "You are blessed if you do this. You are happy if you are so. Blessed is he whose bad iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is that person to whom God will not accuse, where there is no dishonesty." He speaks of you, brother and sister, who travel and want to live in the house of God and to stop at the basin of water to put away sin and travel fault. Dear brothers and sisters, that basin is here in God's kingdom today in our midst, and we can take care of matters. And I would like to encourage you above all at this gracious moment to believe all sins and travel faults forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven. Brothers and sisters, dear brothers and sisters, all your sins and faults are forgiven. And so, the kingdom of God, the congregation, the duty of the congregation to preach the gospel continues on, and the listener shall wash and care for. And there was one more matter I would like to say here in the end. It was said unto Peter, "If I do not wash your feet, you shall have no part with me." Dear brothers and sisters, this is a precious matter for us, this picture. Participation in God's congregation and participation in the Lord Jesus. If we remember, sin needs the power of faith, makes us weak. If the participation is cut with God's kingdom, it is cut from the true vineyard, the Lord Jesus. For that reason, it is important that we remain in love. And through the bonds of love, we want to hold and keep connection. John, in his text, in closing, "If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and in Jesus, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ washes us from all sins." Dear brothers and sisters, let the heavenly rain drench your hearts. Believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood, and in this way, secured and blessed, we can remain in God's house as Jacob's example leaves us. I leave you in the words of Paul, dear brother and sister, in God and his gracious care that is strong to build you and to give you that portion with all the holy saints. Can I believe my sins? So many doubts and sins. Can I believe my own sins forgiven? I want to believe. Let us remain believing. In Jesus' name, amen.